The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
So, we all walked into SummerSlam being told that there was something that is going to happen that we've never seen before. It'll be shocking. You'll never see it coming. And SummerSlam did give us something that I don't think I saw coming anytime soon. What was that, Josh?
An ad for Battlegrounds?
I think that's it. Ad for Battleground. A Hyundai commercial. Nothing else major happened, right?
I mean, it was a good show. I think first and foremost, let's, you know, applaud WWE. You had a very good show. Was it the best show this week? I'm not sure if it was.
I don't know if that, we'll get into that, but I don't know if that's a good thing, but we'll delve into that more.
It was not a bad show. Would you say it was better than Dynamite?
I really like Dynamite. I really like Dynamite from Saturday.
I think it's, you know, it's close. I think SummerSlam did a lot of good things. I thought it was some really good matches and everything like that. I thought the directions, if everything went the right way, I thought the booking, you know, went pretty well. Thunderdome has some ups and downs with stuff, you know, with the fans. And there was some interesting thing from the fans. I guess we can talk about that really quick. There's the fun side of things, which I'll talk about, and you can talk about the not fun things. The fun things was we saw Squirtle, and we saw Baby Yoda. So those were the fun things that we saw. What were the not fun things, Joel?
Well, thanks to Rhea Ripley, and as we're recording this at 8:27 Mountain, this could very well be removed, but if you go to Rhea Ripley's likes, there are two likes that stand out. One of which is a fan. This was a tweet from Ryan Satin, so that tweet still exists, but a sign that popped up at Sasha Banks' entrance, which said Fire Velveteen Dream, which I always find really interesting, because usually you get kind of a feeling where a locker room is by little things like this. I feel like this is a little bit more telling that there have been reports that Dream has heat with the locker room, and I think when your coworkers like something like that, and that's a very impactful statement where it says "Fire Velveteen Dream." It makes me wonder what Dream's like backstage, and it also makes me wonder because Rhea Ripley was around NXT for the most part around Dream, so it makes you wonder what Dream's been like behind the scenes.
Well, we've already kind of heard reports that his peers aren't a fan of him. So, and there's a little bit of diva-like attitude from him in the back locker room there. And you would almost think, okay, well, let's throw him to the main roster, and that's not going to happen. Took a really nasty bump last night, I should say. But there was the part of TakeOver where, quite frankly, for me, it was just uncomfortable watching him in the ladder match for me, and I think I speak for you in the same way. It was just uncomfortable watching him, you know. And Hunters came out as if like, look, there's nothing more we can do. We've been thorough with everything. There's been more damning evidence come online. Obviously, you know, people aren't satisfied. Didn't Nia like something too?
I believe Nia Jax did like something about Velveteen.
Oh, she no, you know what she did? There was an Instagram post with a Hunter quote saying we've done the research and he passed, and she did a bunch of clown emojis.
So we don't know if she's talking about the clowns trying to accuse Velveteen, or if it's...
No. It's very... that she's saying that... I think it's been known that she's not a fan of Velveteen either. So it's funny. You go from Velveteen this time last year getting praise from The Rock and John Cena to this.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you things happen so quickly and things move so quickly that I think if you're a terrible person, eventually it will come out and it will bite you. And I think regardless, there's been enough things that have come out that suggest that the people around Velveteen aren't that big of fans.
No. I mean, there was a post that came out of a young guy showing some posts that they had there. So I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, you know, when your peers are already kind of against you, it's not going to be a shock to anyone in the locker room. And I mean, it's funny too, like, you know, with bad behavior, Hunter was asked about Lars Sullivan and had no comment on that either. So I wonder if that's something that they just quietly said goodbye to.
Yeah, I do wonder with his comments about Velveteen, I wonder if that's lawyer speak for don't say anything, we're working through this. If you say anything, then that could damage us with a wrongful termination suit. So just don't say anything, we're handling this. So I do wonder on that side, but it's very interesting to see.
I will actually be surprised if we see him on NXT this Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be on. I think he will be on an NXT, though, at some point in the next little bit here.
Yeah, well, let's start with NXT, why don't we? And then we'll work our way to SummerSlam. How about we do that?
Yeah, that works for me.
Because SummerSlam's fresher in our minds. So let's go back to yesterday. I guess, unfortunately, we're going to have to kind of go backwards with TakeOver. And we have to go to the main event, which has a lot of layers from tonight as well. So Keith Lee, he loses to Karrion Kross, but it sounds like he has a separated shoulder. He's going to get an MRI on Monday, and they're going to go from there. But there's a potential that as fast as he won the title, he's going to lose it. Hunter confirmed the separated shoulder. Keith Lee, they with them knowing this news, Keith Lee was promoted for Monday Night Raw tomorrow as we record this. So that takes Keith Lee out of the equation for the NXT championship potentially takes Karrion Kross out of it as well, obviously.
I got to say that main event match felt a little flat, but the other thing with it was when you see right around where you think the injury may have happened, you can tell that everything kind of suffered from it. And like, I even messaged you during the match, I was like, I really don't like Cross's kickouts, they're very weak. Now we understand why they were really really weak, because when your shoulder's buggered, you can't kick out, you lose power from that side to do kickouts and shooting the arm up. So that makes sense.
So where do we think the NXT, I guess we don't want to, you know, lead to too much. We want to see what the MRI is, but if Hunter's already confirming and the trainer's already confirming a separated shoulder, for kind of context, that's something that Finn Balor had, and Finn Balor was out for almost pretty much close to a year. I went from SummerSlam to after Mania. So pretty close to a year, about 10 months, 10 to 9 months that he was out. And you could see that for Karrion Kross. I can't imagine, even if it's just a minor one, that he's not going to be out at least 6 months.
Well, according to the internet, and take that for a grain of salt, depending on the severity of the injury, most people recover from a shoulder separation without surgery within 2 to 12 weeks. So it depends on if there's any tears or anything. So obviously, Finn had tears. The fact that he worked the match, and not only that, but he did the Doomsday suplex off the top rope with Keith Lee, who is not a light fellow. You gotta wonder if he did more damage to his shoulder.
Yeah, so I guess we'll wait and see what the MRI has, and we'll Next time we come probably back for the podcast, it'll be after Friday Night SmackDown, probably next week when we preview Payback, because that's next week. And it'll be after the Thursday AEW as well. So we'll kind of give an update with there. If not, we'll kind of see what they do on NXT with the championship. So a lot of stuff going there. Moving on to the rest of the card, let's go to the front now really quick here. On the pre-show, Breeze Dango, kind of to my surprise, they won the number one contendership for the NXT championship, and they'll be taking on Imperium. I think that's on NXT this week, if I'm not mistaken, Joel.
I think so, but I'm not entirely sure.
So I guess, yeah, I thought that Wilde and Mendoza were going to win this for their match against Imperium. Just because of what they've been building with Imperium, I didn't think they'd be having a comedy tag team like Breeze Dango in there. But good for them to win it. But I think Imperium will squash them.
Yeah, I predicted it. I predicted it. They were the only babyface team in there. I was like, well, babyface heels.
Then we have Finn Balor and Timothy Thatcher in the opening match. Nice technical match. Finn gets another big win. But the question is, like, where does Finn go? I predicted, you know, with Cross winning, I thought that that's where Finn would go, and maybe you're going to do something with the Demon and with Cross. But now, I guess, for Finn, it's TBA on where they're going to go with him and with the championship right now, depending on this MRI.
Yeah, yeah. I think Finn would be an excellent pick for NXT champion. I think he's a safe pick. Just go with that and... You know, you can build things around Finn and this prince and this tweener gimmick, which I think is a really good gimmick and I think a really good character for Finn. It's just getting the machine behind Finn Balor again.
Mm-hmm. Timothy Thatcher looked good. I think there's a bright future with him. No real complaints. I thought it was a strong opening match for the show.
Yep, I do as well.
Ladder match. Damian Priest, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, Johnny Gargano, and Velveteen Dream. Like I said, Velveteen took a pretty nasty bump in this, but it was, you know, hard to really watch him go. You can definitely see the bright future with Bronson Reed. Cameron Grimes had some nice stuff. Johnny Gargano was fun, but at the end of the day, like Joel called, Damian Priest ends up taking the North American Championship, and I'm assuming leading to a feud between him and Bronson Reed.
Yeah, I think you gotta get fresh faces in NXT. That's the one thing that they're lacking. The one thing that they're missing is having more different faces showing up and doing stuff. And I think moving Keith Lee out now, while sucks, is a better thing because it puts more pressure on other guys in NXT and it forces other guys to step up. And the reason I'd go with Finn for the main event is, though he's not a fresh face to NXT, this current iteration is a fresh face, and it gives helps revive everything in NXT, because this wasn't a bad show by any stretch, but I also thought it wasn't a strong show, and I thought this ladder match was a very hollow ladder match. I'm glad Priest won, but it was really just car crash, car crash, car crash, car crash. Anyone that complains about spot monkeys doing too much in AEW or in NXT or in Japan, this is basically just spot monkeys. If you're going to compare one and the other, there was just, okay, next thing. Okay, next thing. That's one thing that I found with NXT ladder matches is there's no story anymore to it. It feels like the story's dried up. And I feel like you can speak to most ladder matches in WWE is not having a lot of story and just a lot of, okay, next spot, next spot, next spot.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's they've had two big ladder matches this year with the women's ladder match and with this ladder match, and both are just completely forgettable.
Yeah.
Compared to the one we had in New Orleans, that's an all-timer. I can't remember any of the spots from this at all. Like, can you tell me a spot you remember other than the big Velveteen bump?
No.
Yeah, like, and I could probably... Off the top of my head, I can tell you five bumps from that New Orleans ladder match.
Oh, yeah. There's iconic moments from that, some of which are tainted because of who's involved in said spots. But
them, Lars and Velveteen.
Poor EC3.
Yeah, he'll be okay. So, yeah, Damian Priest walks away with that. I like the picture that Hunter had with the championship, and Priest was in a hot tub with a bottle of the bubbly. with two ladies and Hunter.
I hope Jericho's getting some copyright for that.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope so.
You gotta show Priest's personality. I think he's got a good moveset, and it's now just kind of starting to establish who Priest is.
It is. So Damian Priest walks away with that. Let's skip ahead before we talk about this next match. Io Shirai defeats Dakota Kai. Good win for Io. Dakota looked pretty good in this match, but Io gets the win. I'm not sure where we go with Io particularly next. Maybe Candice in her one-on-one, maybe?
I'd be okay with them doing that again.
Yeah, like who else is there? I mean, I guess you could do Rhea.
Yeah.
There's that as well. So there's opponents there, but Io looks fantastic and maybe one of the best women. And we talked so much about Asuka, Bayley, and Sasha for female wrestler of the year right now, but Io is right in that conversation as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's tremendous. So anything more to really comment about this match?
No, I thought it was a good match. Io is incredibly talented, and you just see that in the way she works in the ring.
Absolutely. So, and then with the main event, nothing more to add there. Let's talk about Adam Cole and Pat McAfee, because I think when you think about this card back in the next few years, that's the match you're going to talk about. This is a really fun match. It shows how good Adam Cole is. And kind of like I predicted on the Friday show, Pat McAfee's, you know, when you have someone that has the passion for this and cares about this, and as an was, you know, athletic as he is, you're going to get good results. And that's what we saw from Pat McAfee in this.
Yep. And Pat McAfee told Hunter and WWE he wants to be a weapon for them. They thought it was as a commentator, not what he meant at all. And I think this is a guy that you see the markings of a guy that can be decent to serviceable in ring. But the biggest strength that Pat McAfee has that not a lot of people have is that personality and charisma that can't be taught, that can't be bottled and sold. I think that was one of his strong strengths, and you can't say enough good things about Adam Cole. Adam Cole is an incredible talent, and quite frankly, he should be a world champion at this point. He should definitely be considered one of your marquee guys. If you're talking about making your product the best, Adam Cole is in the top three guys in your company that you can go, yoink, here we go. Let's get you hot and ready to run Ragshaw over the main event scene, because he is just that incredibly talented. And this match just spoke to, again, how incredibly talented Cole is.
It's kind of funny, you know, Keith Lee gets the call up, and it's kind of like, yeah, I think it's time for Adam Cole and Undisputed to get the call up, but now it almost seems kind of unnecessary with what you have from Retribution to have another big stable come to the main roster right now. So I don't really know where they go next with Adam Cole. That's my only thing is, like you said, like he's fantastic, but I don't know what's left for him in NXT. I like you said, I think it's time for this next level of roster. Like you kind of have, you know, these classes. I think he's the last one now, really. Him and Velveteen, but we don't know what's going to happen there. But from that, like, Riddle and Keith Lee and Ricochet class hasn't jumped up. So Ciampa and Johnny are part of that, but they just kind of seem like lifers for NXT at this point.
Yeah.
Cole is the next one that hasn't made – that it's time to make the jump.
Yeah.
Because – and maybe it's something as simple as they're going to wait to the draft to do him. Or they're going to do one more War Games match with him.
He does like War Games.
Like I do wonder if they do something with Pat McAfee and three other guys for War Games.
It could be. I wouldn't mind seeing McAfee in that type of match.
The thing with Pat McAfee is, like you said, like it reminds me a lot of Miz, right? Because there's stuff the Miz had you couldn't teach. It's going to take him a while, though, to get to, like, where he was just Mike Mizanin and the guy from the Real World. And it's like, it went on and on and on to the fact when Pat McAfee is just Pat McAfee, really good wrestler. Or at least serviceable wrestler. It's not like a really good, just serviceable wrestler for them.
Oh, yeah. It's just working and getting to the next step.
Yep, absolutely. So that's NXT. I'd say like it was like an 8 out of 10. It was a serviceable show. It's, you know, like the problem is it just has kind of felt flat overall. Like there's nothing wrong with this show. I can't say it was a bad show. It just feels like NXT has missed something to what it had, and it's really felt like that since February.
I'd probably say this was about a 7.
Yeah, sure.
6.5, 7.
Yeah, it's just missing something.
It really is.
I don't know what it is, but it's definitely missing something that it had, and that is now gone. And I can't put my finger on it. And it's not the fans, because that show in Portland was, I remember the conversation you, me, and Mo had was like, was that show good? Because at that time, it was blasphemous to say that about NXT, right? You wouldn't say you wouldn't even question, is this show good?
Oh, yeah, no. Always like, this is NXT. This is the epitome of pro wrestling in North America. And now it's missing something.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know what happened there, but my speakers went on mute for 2 seconds.
Ah.
So, what were you saying there?
It was the hacker.
It was Retribution.
And coming to take us out.
What did you say there, though? Sorry.
I said that there's something that just doesn't feel like it's fully clicking in NXT, and it's been since October. It's been since they made the jump to live and been basically counter programming.
War Games worked. War Games was like the last thing that kind of worked.
Yeah, and even then you got a feeling of not really sure where things were headed.
Yeah. All right. Let's go talk about Dynamite before we get to SummerSlam, shall we?
Oh, I might not shut up about this.
Let's talk about the worst thing first. Because there's only one negative thing on the whole show, right?
Yeah, it was the women's match, the final. It's one of the glaring holes in AEW. But if AEW's taught me anything, I'm not worried about it because I think eventually they'll get it sorted out. I think they're starting to bring in little pieces that will help. How do you say the name of the commentator that they brought in?
Shai Guerrero?
No, Vida Scott.
Yeah, I'm not sure of.
They brought her in, which I thought was a nice touch. It seems to have Medusa floating around AEW. So there are good things, but the women's match was I don't know how much I want to see Brandy in the ring, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I like Eva Lise. I've always liked her since Tough Enough, and I thought she did really good in Lucha Underground. I did like the touch when they threw the flowers down and brought the flags out. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can build something there. The whole thing was very confusing with her and Allie and like QT and Dustin. So that was the worst. Let's get to the fun stuff. Let's go right to the main event. Cody Rhodes takes the loss, loses the TNT title in 3 minutes to Brody Lee. This was fantastic. I love the crowd shots. I love the look on Sony Kiss. He was shocked. Everyone was just like, what's going on? And it just shows that once in a while, if you do this kind of Brock Lesnar Cena thing, you just beat the crap out of somebody. It's really, really meaningful.
Yeah. And LOL, Cody wins. It was done for a reason. And it paid off because now you built up Brody. Cody could afford the loss. And now you've got so many threads to pull on because you've got the Cody return match. You've got Matt Cardona around that could challenge Brody. You've got the fact that the Elite didn't come out and save Arn and Cody at all. Brandy getting choked by Anna Jay, which adds another layer to all this. We could get a mixed tag match. I don't know if I want that, but you could get there. There's a lot of threads that can be pulled on. This could be the thing that leads Cody turning heel and joining the Four Horsemen. This could also be the thing that keeps Cody babyface because of just the level of beating He did not get a lick of offense into Brody Lee. Brody Lee killed him, and it was great. And it's really nice to have an end to the Cody story, because the story they were telling was how long can Cody do this? How long can he burn the candle at both ends before he gets caught? And he got caught, and he got caught massively. I wish more matches like this would happen, where not all the time, but where you have it where the higher ranked wrestler gets caught by the underdog. We see it in UFC, we see it in sports constantly. So I don't think it would be shocking to have a legit star lose in 3 to 5 minutes just because they got caught. They had an off day and the other guy was on. It tells a story, and I thought this was the cherry on top of an excellent Dynamite.
It really was. You kind of saved me for it. You kind of made it look like Cody jobbed out the whole
Dark Order.
Dark Order, and he didn't, and it made the Dark Order look so strong too. You know, the one kind of black eye in AEW for a bit was how that Dark Order gimmick was booked 8 months ago. That was just so terrible for that main event spot with the botched punches and everything with it. And now you look forward 8 months later, or however long ago that was, and you look where they are now. They look absolutely terrifying. They built up those guys that had a match with the Elite. I thought that was a really fantastic match and a great showcase for those guys. You show that they're not just these useless minions, that they can actually go in the ring and challenge a great team like the Elite. You've really overall pushed how impressive they can be as a unit. And Brody as the connector, that he's a destroyer of one of the top guys in AEW.
Yeah. And not only that, but you've also shown Kenny start to slip.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. There's a lot of really good... I thought this was a really good example of the storytelling and the long-term storytelling that they do. Because Kenny snaps and he was out for blood against the Dark Order because they kind of took liberties and used chairs on those guys. So you can see this. Kenny's getting more frustrated, more angry. And then you see like the FTR beats Private Party, solidifying their spot at the number one seed. And that plays into later for the how the gauntlet match is going to go. And you can see them kind of talking to Hangman and kind of trying to kind of slowly rope Hangman in to either stab him in the back, divide and conquer so that they can get the tag titles. Because I think FTR is challenging Hangman and Kenny. And I think that could be the breaking point for Omega.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. Because you don't need to do this Young Bucks and FTR match. I think the one smart thing they've done is they're taking their time. There's no need to do it. I love the thing with Adam Page of like, oh, we were testing you to see if you would help us out and everything like that, and kind of play mind games with him. I like the slow build to it, because you don't – we've had this build for FTR and Young Bucks. But there's also the idea of we've had this build online, but we haven't had this build in AEW for FTR and the Young Bucks. And now we're starting to build an AEW between those two. And when we finally get it, it's going to be great. But in the meantime, you can continue to build up the animosity to that. You build up what FTR is in the company. They're now 6-0 in tag team matches. You're building up the slow turn of Kenny turning into the cleaner. You're building up stuff more with Hangman Page. And you had everything, you know, like you said, with the Elite not coming out. And the Elite very well could have came out because they just took care of the Dark Order earlier. Why can't they come out now? So you did so many – to the point, I will admit, like, I have not watched Being the Elite for 4 months. I will watch BTE this Monday because I'm interested if they'll have any interaction with Cody.
Yeah, I'm really curious because that's a topic that should be covered.
They've
done a really good job, and it doesn't feel like the Elite. It doesn't feel like they just dominate the whole show in a way that they're unbearable. It feels like they're in the right spot, doing the right things that are helping out the roster as a whole and helping the program.
Mm-hmm. There's just so many little things that you just have interconnected with the tissue, and
Look, I've been bad of watching AEW. I've watched it very sporadically. I've watched all the pay-per-views, but I haven't watched Dynamite. But I got to say, like, every time it's actually kind of frustrating in some ways. It must be even frustrating for someone like you that we do talk wrestling with. And it's like, man, Dynamite was really good. And then I go 2 weeks and I don't watch it. Because, you know, I cover basketball and other stuff, so I just can't get around to it. But every time I do it, I just am really, really interested and invested in everything that they do because they just don't really seem to miss lately. And it's just a really fun show compared to, at times, what Raw and SmackDown do, which is kind of the same mundane things of SmackDown. I'm like, oh, look, it was Joseph Park. Yay.
Yeah, it's the little things that make you pop for that. But for AEW, I feel like you get rewarded more times than not.
Yeah. Also on this show, we had an announcement of one of the greatest matches of all time, Mimosa Mayhem match with Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy.
That promo that they did where they talked about the genius has done it again, the demo god is here and he's here to save us all and he's created this great match. I just can't wait to see Jericho swimming. I can't wait to see Jericho try to drink his way out of the mimosa that he's just been dumped in.
Yeah, that's going to be phenomenal. And then he'll probably go away for a while, and that'll be interesting to see what they do there. But, yeah, I mean, it was great. Britt had a nice little promo. I liked what I saw from Britt, as always. Matt Hardy and Sammy are going to beat the living piss out of each other. It did seem like we have a little bit maybe of an uptick in the women's division with Thunder Rosa looking to challenge Shida. That could be really interesting.
I don't know how clean the finish is going to be because they're both world champions technically, but I think it'll be a good match. And I think bringing in someone like Thunder Rosa just gives you another talent to work with. And if you're going to do a little bit of sharing with the NWA, I wonder if Cody joins the Four Horsemen, Cody doesn't go after the AEW world title. Maybe Cody wants the NWA title and has the Four Horsemen the NWA title. I think that's a really long shot.
But I like it.
That's a way to get around, and you can showcase the NWA title on TNT again and then have Cody do NWA tapings, and You could tell a good story there. I think you could really tell a good story there, and it'd be reminiscent to Flair, Dusty, of being a traveling champion.
A few more things to hit on. Ricky Starks was one of my MVPs of the night. The Darby thing made me laugh out loud. That was fantastic.
So this kid can go from a comedy promo to deadly serious in like a drop of a hat. When he debuted, because it was spoiled for me that Ricky Starks was debuting because someone leaked it on Reddit, so I did a little bit of a deep dive. I'm like, oh, I kind of like this kid. Ah, he's decent look, kind of looks like a shrunk down Rocky. Let's see what he can do.
Kind of reminds me of a better Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah. And he then just had a really good match with Cody, and then they signed him right away. And then you started watching some of his promos from NWA, and you're like, holy crap, this kid is really, 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 really good. And just pairing up, going after Darby, and just everything with that, with Brian Cage and Taz, has just been money. Ricky cut a promo, I think it was last week before he it was the week where him and Moxley were tagging up to take on Brian Cage and Darby. He cut a promo before they went out, and it was a killer promo. He cut a killer promo on Dynamite Dark last week. Like, the kid's just money. He's money that will be printed, and it's the first time in a while as a wrestling fan with a North American product that I feel like, I don't know if they're going to screw this kid up. I think everything's going to be okay, and just got to enjoy the ride. Mm-hmm. I think Darby, I can't say enough nice things about Darby wrestling a bigger jobber, and it being solidifying in your mind that Darby could beat Brian Cage, because we've seen Darby beat someone bigger. It was perfect for what you eventually want to do with Darby.
Even the guy that Darby was wrestling, I had never seen him before. Apparently he's been on Dark a few times. I thought they gave him a decent amount of shine. I kind of liked his look and his in-ring a little bit.
That is the one thing that AEW gets a little bit of criticism for from some fans and a little bit of praise, but it seems like they don't really do a lot of straight-up squash, three-minute squash matches. Yeah. Kenny will give offense to guys. The guys are a little bit more generous, and I think it goes back to when Eric Bischoff was talking about just the vibe backstage and saying that these guys are talking about different ways to get each other over. That's the focal point, is how do we tell the best story possible and get each other over. And you see that in these jobber matches, and I think that makes it more realistic, because it's not just steamrolling someone. It gives a little bit of offense, so maybe you find a diamond in the rough in one of these jobbers. But it also helps show that even when these stars like Kenny Omega, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, MJF, are a little under the gun, they'll just power through. And it just shows that you can see their comeback for stuff. So I think it works better than just killing people.
Yeah, absolutely. A few other things. Eddie Kingston with Butcher Blade and Pentagon and Phoenix. Great promo. I'm interested to see where that goes. And what did the wink mean?
I don't know. I need to know what that... It's another great promo from Eddie Kingston. And it just, you have no idea, what does this mean for the death triangle of Pac that he formed with Pentagon and Rey Fénix? Because Pac obviously can't be here right now. We don't know when Pac will be
able. Because travel ban, right?
Yeah. So they've got to wait for that travel ban to clear off. But in the meantime, this could be a nice way to keep him busy, and it gives Pac a program when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm really excited to see where this goes.
So I thought that was really good. And then finally, Mox and MGF just both cut great promos. The MGF one, it's funny because I saw it the first time because I'm watching the Laker game at the time, so I have AEW on my iPad on silent, and I'm watching it with on silent, and I ended up watching it again with the voice on. And again, keeping context, I've been kind of out of the loop on it, and Joel kind of refreshes me, and I just see that woman smiling, and Joel talked to me about it, and then I thought the lawyer was great. I thought Moxie cut a great promo, don't get me wrong, but MGF is just hitting at all highs right now.
Yeah, and now the question is going to become, do you put the title on MJF? Is it too early?
But it's too early.
You see that Moxley promo, and oh man, he slipped slightly into Heath Ledger's Joker with a few lines, but it was just so on brand for Moxley. He's a guy that WWE desperately could need in this pandemic era, because you saw how reliable he was for the company and how much he went through when he was WWE champion. And you're seeing it again as the AEW champion. He's being responsible, as he should, when Renee had COVID. But you're seeing him always coming through for AEW in either a promo or a match. I'm really glad he's World Heavyweight Champion. I think Drew has a better presence than Moxley because the lack of fans hurt Moxley. But I think Moxley's been a very good world champion in this COVID era.
I do too. I think it's too soon for MGF. I would have Moxley win because I think the match is Kenny and him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bringing that story full circle once again. And the other thing with MJF is he's young enough that even if he doesn't win the first time, you can still find a way for him to come back and re-campaign for a world title match. You can find a way to get him going in another direction that helps build him up. So it's not the end of the world if MJF doesn't hit it. But you're really showing that Moxley, MJF can hang in the main event scene. And that means you've essentially, with these promos alone, you've shown that MJF is a main eventer and he's a draw for your company. I love the tweets. He had a tweet about father and son throwing a baseball. And he's like, Dictator John will, because of you, Dictator John, I'll never be able to do it. It's just such a great line. His delivery was perfect. Like, this guy is absolutely the future of AEW in a lot of ways. And it's funny, because when we watched the buy-in for All In and we saw MJF, it was like, I don't know if there's anything there with this kid. Whatever, sure. And now, what, 2 years later? Is it 2 years later, almost?
Yeah.
And the kid's probably one of the... He may be promo of the year. It's going to be really tough, but he may...
Yeah, there's some good ones.
If you do have him beat Moxley, that does set up the potential that you go and you can put Orange Cassidy into the world title picture then.
I think the crowd would be loving Orange Cassidy right now. You don't know, and that makes me a little nervous, but he'd be a great guy to see dethrone MJF. It would be fantastic. That would be great, and that would be great for the crowd, because I feel like how much of a dick MJF is, to see Orange Cassidy defeat him, it would just be such a release for the audience. It would be great.
But I think they've been very precious with the world title right now. It actually, right now in AEW, I feel like titles mean something. I would say the only title, I would say the tag team titles... The tag team division's important. I don't feel like the tag team titles mean as much just yet, with just having them on Kenny and Paige, as good as they've been. But you get what I'm kind of saying?
Yeah, I think having them, when they move them to FTR, yes. I think they've helped elevate the tag team titles because they've constantly put on good matches. I think having that solidified, meant to be a tag team like FTR, like the Young Bucks or like the Lucha Bros, will help bring those titles to the next level.
But like the TNT title, it means something now with how much, like, for all the campaigning about Cody, is like all the title defenses and everything he did already early on, that title means something now. It's the workhorse championship, right? It's what the Intercontinental Championship used to be. The world title, I mean, this will be the first full year of AEW now, realistically, with the paper, with, like, you know, going to Dynamite almost, right? And we've only going to have potentially, if MGF loses, two champions in a year.
Yeah.
So it shows how precious that is with Lee Champion and with Moxley.
And again, just, it's not panicking, it's not hot-shotting things around, and it's not. I feel like AEW is coming very close to fully forming the identity of the brand. I think it's still got a little ways to go, but I think we're starting to see what this brand of pro wrestling is from AEW, and I think it's going to start clicking. I really feel positive about what they're doing. Like, even notice the inflection and tones of us talking about AEW right now compared to NXT or compared to other things within pro wrestling in the last little bit, it's a lot more on a positive uptick than a downtick.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was a fantastic show. We don't get the rating because it's on the weekend, so we'll probably get the rating. You kind of see that with SmackDown sometimes too, right? We don't get a SmackDown rating till a Monday. NXT did fairly good. It did 800,000 unopposed. So, good rating there for NXT. The AEW one just interesting because it has the follow-in from Heat and Pacers, so we'll see what that is there, and it'll be back on Thursday. So like I said, when we have the next podcast, when we preview Payback, we'll have the Thursday Dynamite review, and then we'll also have what we have for the news, obviously, and then we'll have the preview for Payback. But let's talk about SummerSlam now, which was tonight. Like I said, it was a fun show. We started the show off. Apollo Crews defeated MVP. MVP debuted new music and new shirts for the Hurt Business. But Apollo Crews wins this match, kind of like we predicted, in 640. And kind of to the assumption that it's going to be him and Lashley at Payback next week.
Yeah, I think that's... I think they're really building up Lashley. And I think Lashley's going to face Brock at some point.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about with what happened with Cody and Brody Lee. That's what needs to happen with Bobby Lashley against Apollo Crews. No 50-50 booking. Bobby Lashley just destroys him.
Yep, I absolutely agree.
Like, I nothing in between. He just gets destroyed. Then we start the show off, Bayley with Asuka. This is a really fun match between these two. It leads to, ultimately, though, Sasha distracting Asuka, and Bayley's able to pull out the win. And she retains the SmackDown Women's Championship.
It was as I thought it was going to go.
Yeah. Which did you like more between the two matches? You like the Bayley one more or the Sasha one more?
I like the Sasha one more. Yeah. I thought both were good, but I preferred this.
Her and Sasha have just a little bit more chemistry, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it just comes down to performers and how they work and their styles. And I think one definitely wins out.
Well, you could argue that those are the two best actual female wrestlers, aside Natty and the company right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Charlotte, obviously. Tag Team Championship, Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza. You know, we were, you know, not hesitant about this match, but like, hey, just good performers. We'll see what this is. But I got to say, like, these guys only got 7 minutes, but they, you know, had a really entertaining back and forth match led by a fantastic frog splash by Montrez Ford at the end. Holy hell, that was a great frog splash. And it led from the win, by the way, of an Andrade looking on the Zelina after a bump from Zelina.
I thought this was a good match. Montez looked really good in this. And I think that I'm really curious to see where Garza and Andrade go. I thought all four competitors looked strong, and I thought it was a good match, but where does Street Profits go from here?
Yeah, like you and I talked about that. I don't really know, like, unless maybe Ali or Cedric, or I guess maybe the Cedric Ricochet team, maybe?
Yeah, that's not a bad spot to go.
Like maybe they'll go with that tag team. I don't really know if there's any other tag teams there. So that's I guess you could go back to the Viking Raiders. But I think that's kind of done. This is why FTR left WWE. It's not that there's not good tag teams there. It's just there's no tag teams.
Yeah, it's really, 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 really thin. Because you should be looking for, you should be enjoying this match, but also going, okay, what's next for the Street Profits? What big matchup are we going to see?
They can't even face the Usos or New Day because the New Day's all injured because Kofi's hurt now. Kofi's hurt. Woods is still not fully back. New Day's hurt, so you can't face the two biggest tag teams in the company.
Yeah, and that kind of handcuffs you. So injuries have definitely hurt, and you got to start establishing some good.
Maybe they move Forgotten Sons there.
Yeah, I just don't know how that's going to... I don't know if they're going to touch Forgotten Sons. Maybe they're waiting for things to cool off a bit, but mm-hmm. Locker room's upset with them. You got to wonder if they're going to touch that team.
Yeah, maybe they have to make another tag team. Maybe it could be the Hurt Business versus them.
It could be,
Like maybe it's MVP and Shelton versus them.
Put the tag titles on them. That's not a bad call at all.
Yeah, maybe that's something where you go. Before we get to the rest of the card, we should note, too, that WWE made a big mistake. Retribution had a video package that was showing of all their acts, and then they never paid it off with anything by Retribution on this entire show. So there's so many problems with that. It's just a little thing of like, this is somebody that's attacking your company consistently. You wouldn't showcase it off, right? You wouldn't showcase the negative thing that happened. It's little things like that. Like I get when you showcased off the Nexus stuff, right? It's like, we're still recovering from the Nexus and stuff, but these are people that are unauthorized. They're sneaking into your building and destroying the building.
Yeah,
You shouldn't be highlighting it and have a video package of them destroying your shit.
No, you should show, like, if you want to establish Retribution, you should have shown something. Here's two things with Retribution from this show. You shouldn't have shown this video package. Like, if anything, you should have shown what happened to Bray and Braun and been like, oh, this is what happened. We have detailed security keeping them away tonight so that they will not interfere with one of our biggest shows. And right. You know what? They should have messed with SummerSlam. The fact that they didn't mess with SummerSlam, like you could say that, oh, this isn't the PC anymore, so they don't have clear access to it. But you didn't do anything like that. This should be a storyline that you pay off in small ways, either saying you have more security or have them mess with one of your arguably your second or third biggest pay-per-view. Like it was a complete mistake by WWE.
well, even what they did on them at SmackDown, they came out during the Bray and Strowman thing. So you're already kind of asserting that they already kind of attacked a vulnerable Strowman. So maybe they took that opportunity again. And then they had the whole locker come after them, and then nothing happened. So, and then they weren't around the rest of the show. They've really just dropped the ball so far with this storyline. Like, any of the attacks just look super terrible. They just haven't been good. Then they just exploded them up. I think if they don't reveal them by the end of Payback, then I don't know what they're doing. But
yeah,
by next week for Payback, you need to reveal who they are.
And I mean, if they disrupt Payback, I'm like, this is dumb. They should be ruining the biggest show of the summer, not
yeah.
the throwaway pay-per-view that's going to happen.
Yeah. We've gone on long enough now with these attacks. You need to start putting faces to the attackers.
You need
so we can get the matches. And you need promos.
You need social media. This is such an opportunity to really make this feel kind of guerrilla warfare. This is like the nexus, but you can have a social media really play a role in promoting these guys. They should have a social media presence. They should have their own YouTube channel showing the things that WWE won't show you. But again, it's having that lack of creativity that's stifling WWE from being like, oh, just same thing, because this is basically the nexus all over again, just no faces.
Yeah. And I wonder if maybe, like, just even with the hacker thing, I don't know. Like, right now, I'm going to ask you, I have my opinion. Between Raw Underground and this, what has been more of a success within the first 3 weeks of these individual things?
That's tough. I think it's Raw Underground.
I would agree.
I just don't think there's enough buzz for Retribution. I think you haven't given them faces yet. You haven't given them that feeling that this is something that is out of your control. You're not blurring the lines in some ways. You're not showing that this disruptive fraction is just faction is disrupting WWE. It feels like it's all par the course and it's all normal. Doesn't feel like it's really some sort of alt whatever side of the spectrum you lean on group that's destroying things. Mm-hmm. It just feels like a bunch of people haphazardly destroying stuff, and destroying stuff in a way we've seen before. Like, it's not anything fun and exciting, and it's not something that you go and you see the damage that they're doing and you're like, oh my god. You go, oh, cinder block through the lower part of a door. Yippee.
Or the kicking the car with the little kicks. Like, the chainsaw with the ropes was cool. You know, it's cool, you know, visual, cool sound and everything like that. But we've kind of seen the Nexus do that, right? And it's hard to not have these thoughts of what the Nexus is. And you and I had kind of done some booking of, like, you could have had tonight, like, Cena comes out and it's kind of the NWO or something like that. I think there is a way to still book yourself out of this to make it work.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, where they are, everything's just been kind of lame.
Yeah. It's flat. It's flat.
And at least with Raw Underground, you know, with some of the guys in the Viking Raiders, you're showing a badass side of them. With Dolph Ziggler, it's kind of rehabbing him a little bit, right? With, you know, the Horsewomen, it's a different way to showcase them off.
Yep.
I thought the stuff with Nia and Baszler was really cool. I like that Nia chickened out. I'm glad they got rid of the dancers. I thought that was a really smart move. Didn't like that nobody was wearing masks. That was definitely a negative against them for that. But there is some bonuses. There's a mix in Raw Underground. I'm not saying it's 6666 successful. Cannot talk there. But Retribution fail, and specifically showing the video package, the biggest fail of SummerSlam overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville. Oh, yeah.
Before we get there, we got to talk about someone that is departing, and just it's been confirmed. Yeah. Renee is gone
last night. Yep, she's gone. She's no longer with WWE after tonight now.
How'd you feel about how they sent her off?
So we got a tweet that said Renee Young appreciation tweet. And then Charlie kind of threw to her and said, like, hey, like, we really appreciate everything you do. And she just thanks WWE Universe and thanks WWE. And then that was it. And they cut to previewing Asuka coming to the ring. Thought maybe you get a package or something. I did think, you know, because in the past she had thanked McMahon's for stuff in the past. And obviously, you know, you had talked about the whole COVID thing which she had and no one checked on her. What happened there? I thought maybe she would thank the McMahons in that point. She just kind of thanked WWE specifically. It's interesting, and I think she's a talent that, with her and Kathy Lee both gone, and obviously you talked about Rhea liking that tweet of they didn't get treated correctly, and I think that's true. They're two super talented women, and Charlie's talented too. You've obviously seen her in First Take, and she has to deal with Stephen A. Smith, so Charlie's very talented. But it's really unfortunate to see Renee go and to kind of you would expect a little bit more pomp and circumstance for her. Cause she's like, we talked about it. Mo even said like, Morton is the best really in this kind of variety role since Mean Gene.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she will be missed for sure.
Yeah. She definitely left a mark. I think one of her shining moments was talking smack with Brian. And I thought there was a lot of good things that she's done over her WWE career. And I think the sky's the limit for her outside of WWE and pro wrestling.
I do too. And you know what? I got to say, like when she said, I'm coming up with a cookbook, I'm like, oh my God, you and everybody else. But then I saw some of the recipes and I'm like, I think I'm going to get the Renee cookbook because there's some stuff in there. There's a mac and cheese thing that she did. It was like a pierogi mac and cheese. And I'm like, I really might want to try that out.
So John Moxley had an interview with Dave Meltzer and he was talking about the photo shoot and everything. He's like, there's all this food around and I can't eat any of it. And he's just talking about the whole setting and like going out for groceries and going out for all the stuff that she needs for cooking. And her sending him a grocery list and being like, I don't know what half this stuff is. Like, what? It has to go around, and I can just see this fairly tall, big wrestler going around with his phone, just walking around going, where's the scallops? What's a
scallop?
Where's
the dragon fruits? Got any durian?
I'm excited to see where she goes.
Yeah. No doubt. So then we move forward, talking about more talented women. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, no DQ, loser leaves WWE. Mandy beat Sonya Deville. You know, this was a fine match between these two. I thought they could have done a little bit more with the no DQ element of this. They kind of did a lot in the ring. There was a kind of a cool spot with Mandy throwing chairs at Sonya and her ducking and then sliding through the table. Ultimately, Mandy wins this, and Sonya, you know, she already put a tweet out saying goodbye, so we'll see what happens there. But overall thoughts on the match, Joel?
I thought it was a fine match. I agree. I think they could have done more within the rules that let them do a whole bunch. But ultimately, I think the right call was made. Give Sonya some time off. Let everything kind of settle. Let the dust settle. Maybe talk to a psychologist, psychiatrist about the... Because it is a traumatic experience what happened to her. Mm-hmm. And there's no way anyone can understand or sympathize. So I think it's the right call. Let her have some downtime, and she will come back, and she's a very bright star. She was the star of this match, and I think she's one of the bright stars that WWE has moving forward in their women's division.
Yeah. I think both women are super talented. Mandy is the total package. I brought up the point to you, just how much Mandy has picked up in the ring, even compared to like where we saw her in that final night at Tough Enough when she was going against, I think Katie Lee was who she was going against. I can't remember. But, you know, that first night of Tough Enough, having that match against Alicia Fox and where she's gotten to now, she's developed so well. And you look at the in-ring schemes of a Tori Wilson or a Stacy, and nothing against those women, Hall of Famers. Well, Stacy will be eventually. Tori already is. Hall of Famers in their own rights, talented women. But like Mandy's just the entire total package. You know, there had been some comparisons to Mandy Rose and Trish, and I don't think it's far-fetched to get to that point now. You can see a lot of Trish in her, of the growth in the ring, right? And she actually cares, right? She's not there just to be the bikini model. She's there too because she's passionate about the business. You can really tell that with Mandy. And Sonya, just super duper star, ready to go.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So my question is it NXT for her? Is that the person that could face EO next? Is she going down to NXT for a bit? Or is she gonna, or what are they gonna do? Like, I'm interested to see where Sonya goes next.
NXT wouldn't be a bad spot at all for her.
Yeah, she also could be just taking some time away. Obviously, going through, we talked about it on Friday, so I won't go too much into it. But obviously, a traumatic experience. So, hats off to her and Mandy for doing this match in the first place. It's why I'm not going to be as heavily critical in any, you know, there was a few missed spots and stuff, but just the fact that they were able to do it after that horrific episode, I give the women all the credit in the world, and I actually give it an extra match point just because they were able to do it.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree, and, you know, I'm curious to see where Mandy goes from here. We got a little Money in the Bank kind of reminder on who has it at the end of this match. But I think you move forward with both of these. Eventually, Sonya will come back and get her win back.
Can you imagine, and I'm not going to talk because I want to talk about the guy at the end. But can you imagine that guy that we saw at the end, if he becomes the champion and Otis cashes in on him when there's fans? How big of a reaction that's going to be?
That may break the sound barrier. That may break the sound barrier.
Yeah. Next up, Seth Rollins takes on Dominic Mysterio. A lot of highs in this match. I really love the ending. I thought the ending was Seth at his best. Dominic, I know you have a lot to say on Dominic, so I'll just say my piece quick. There is a lot there, but there's still some work to be done. But he gave a great match, and pretty good for his debut match. You know, I've seen much worse debut matches in wrestling. So if this was the debut match for Dominic Mysterio, pretty good way to start your career with a almost a 4-star match. A very good start. A lot of that led by Seth Rollins, kind of like we saw with Pat McAfee. You have a great ring general in there leading the way, and, you know, a great people like Ray in there to add some dramatic effect. But there's stuff to be learned for Dominic, but a pretty good debut by him.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think Dominic definitely is. I don't think you can judge Dominic on whether he's going to be an incredible wrestler or an okay wrestler or a bad wrestler off this match, because I think this is his first real time in the spotlight. I personally would have preferred to do the Charlotte Flair route, where you really build him up in NXT and then you go into getting him into the more bigger spotlights. This was truly a sink or swim moment, and I thought he swam all right. I think there are things within his wrestling that are those things that are just repetition and just the things that you need to get down. It's not like he was out of place. There are a few times you could see him flinch when moves were coming. So it's definitely getting used to that, because it's not, pro wrestling is not easy to get into, and it's not easy to be 100% an all-star Kenny Omega Okada level wrestler. I thought Seth Rollins was the excellent opponent for him to have, but it's really now time to you take this match and you find the next blocks for Dominic Mysterio. I think the next match is going to be Rey versus Seth. But I thought Dominic was, it was a nice little starting point for Dominic. I think ideally you would have him travel around the world, honing his craft, learning and getting better. But in the current climate, I guess this is his best way to learn and grow. And it is definitely a trial by fire for Dominic Mysterio, Prince Mysterio.
Yeah, I thought what you were saying too, of like what his father did, what Chris Jericho has done, of he'd be traveling the world. I thought that was a great point. And I kind of realized, too, for those tag titles, you could go Seth and Murphy against the Street Profits. You could go that route with them. Or eventually you could just go Dominic and Rey as tag champions as well.
Yep, absolutely. I think that overall, I think there's something there with Dominic Mysterio. I think there is a talent there that you can definitely tap into. It's big shoes that he's filling. Obviously, he's a lot bigger than Ray, but those are still massive shoes for him to fill. I'm really curious to see where he goes. I don't know what's next for Dominic Mysterio, but I think the right call was made having Seth get the win. He definitely took a beating in this match. He definitely was. It was not a soft match at all. One of the things you liked in this match was the mother, Mama.
Oh man, Mama Mysterio was fantastic, and Seth kind of going up there with the handcuffs. That's wrestling at its finest right there. Just the drama there, and I just took that match from 0 to 100. Not even 0 to 100, but it just revved it up. It just took it to that next level, right? It's that next level we always talk about. And whenever I think about that, I always think of that Mania match between AJ and Knock, when it was just like, it was almost there, right? It was almost there. And this match was almost there. It was doing a good job. And it took that. And then the next like 10 minutes, it was there. And then you and I were like, oh my God, it's going to do the stomp right in front of the father with the handcuffs looking at him. And they did it. And it was the agony that Ray sold in that moment. It just made it so perfect. And it just added to this heel side of Seth Rollins that you just want to see someone beat the crap out of him. And I really hope that someone, Samoa Joe.
I'm just desperate for Samoa Joe.
King Shark is a shark.
I just need him to do it. Just get his grubby paws on Seth and choke him out.
Yeah, I really like this match. This was my second favorite match in the show.
You kind of dropped out there for a second.
I said this is either my second or third favorite match in the show.
This is absolutely. I thought all parties involved were firing on all cylinders. So it was definitely. I think this was the second best match of the night for me.
Yeah. Next up, Asuka defeats Sasha Banks to become the Raw Women's Champion.
As I predicted,
As you predicted, and Sasha cannot defend the title, so you have that storyline to go with. Bayley tried to help her. It didn't really work. So now Sasha's lost the title. And now next week they defend the tag team championships. The rumor, it seems to be, is Asuka and Shayna Baszler together, which obviously those two I don't think will work together. It gets Sasha and Bayley back on the table together for a little bit and then starts the Baszler and Asuka program.
And then you on SmackDown, you eventually will have Sasha Banks versus Bayley. I thought this was a good match. Again, I think Sasha works better with Asuka than Bayley, but I thought this was a good match. I like the finish. I like how everything ended. I thought they did an incredible job building those last couple minutes. So it worked perfectly, and I thought it just flowed really well.
Yeah, I really, really liked everything about this match. I thought Sasha. You know, you could argue who's the better performer between her and Asuka. Both are tremendous, whatever they do. I thought Sasha really sold losing the title great. I would have liked to have seen maybe like a smile from Bayley, because Sasha, when Bayley lost, Naomi kind of had a little bit of a smile on SmackDown. I would have thought that would have been a nice little touch. It didn't go that way, but it still works. That's kind of what seems to be next for Bayley as far as one-on-one competition. And then now Asuka, she has her choices of the Nia feud again and Baszler. So no shortage of opponents for Asuka. And now we continue a little bit of the slow build with Sasha and Bayley. This will be the part now where they can't get an itchy trigger finger and get ready to do it at Survivor Series. They have to stay steady now because you're very close. You're 4 months away before the Royal Rumble, where you can really start accelerating it. You just got to hold on for 4 more months. It's a long time, but you just got to hold on for 4 more months before you start revving this up.
And SummerSlam can truly be, Survivor Series can be that linchpin almost, that kind of starts to really set things in motion, have Sasha win the Royal Rumble, and then much like a Batista-Hunter moment, you have the thumbs up, you got thumbs down, and Sasha Banks is coming for Bayley.
Yeah. So I'm assuming, I think they're going to, I'd like to see who they're facing for the tag titles. It may be Asuka and Baszler, or maybe it's something as simple as, like you said, the Iconics. But we'll see where they go with that. Maybe Bliss is involved, and maybe she became sadistic because we never saw Bliss tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but that's where that went. And then we had Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton. Drew wins the WWE Championship. He doesn't hit a Claymore. Randy doesn't hit an RKO. Backslide win for Drew McIntyre. Wow, this was a fun match.
It was really good. It was really, really good match. It really sucks that Drew doesn't have a crowd, because I really want him to have that crowd and just have the reaction that he should be getting. I thought Randy did a really good job. Video package does a really good job breaking down all the history of everything heading into this match. And you're just set up, because I don't think this feud is over. It was a really, really well-worked match, and it tells that story of when that Claymore gets hit or when that RKO hits, how much more meaningful that will be moving forward. This was the best match of the night for me. Mm-hmm. I think it goes this match, Seth and Dominic, and then Sasha and Asuka.
Yeah.
I think those three were really made this card a strong card.
And I kind of said, like, it felt like a little bit like Japan to me in a big match, right? Like an Okada match where Okada doesn't hit the Rainmaker, or Kenny didn't hit the One Winged Angel, or, you know, anything like that, where they just don't have the big move hit. And you can go back to the match now, and Randy can be like, I didn't hit the RKO. I didn't get a punt. And Drew can be like, well, I didn't get the Claymore. So you still have that to build on. I'm assuming a rematch at Payback. Maybe Randy wins there, and finally he hits the RKO, or maybe he doesn't again. But I like that you have that. And this is where the Payback thing sucks, because if we had Payback in even three more weeks, you could now sell the next 3 weeks of Randy trying to hit an RKO and not doing it till the last week he finally hits the RKO and lays out Drew and says, if I hit that, I'll beat you.
Yeah, that could be the storyline of, if I hit this, you're done, and you got to do everything in your power to avoid it. And the story could be, well, you got to avoid it. Drew can keep hitting a Claymore on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just being like Randy getting more and more frustrated until Randy finally hits that RKO.
Yeah. So that's the one super drawback about, you know, doing this pay-per-view. That's why Morton, you know, groaned. And that's why Joel and I are like, this is ridiculous. This pay-per-view is next week, because there's a great story to still tell here. And to only tell it in 1 week, it sucks, because this is a great program they're working on right now with Randy and Drew. And I would like at least 3 weeks before Payback to really tell more about that story. And you're only going to come tomorrow and be like, I want a rematch. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
I'm okay with Randy eventually getting the title. I do think you can get the title to Randy, and I think Edge can cost him the title, and then you can kick it back to Drew, and then whatever you're going to do at Mania. We have a brand new wrinkle in what Mania could look like, so I'm curious to see where everyone goes.
Well, let's get to that. So, yeah, great match there. Randy's just been awesome. He's obviously in contender for Wrestler of the Year, and I think Drew bumped himself into that conversation as well with tonight's match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then the main event, Falls Count Anywhere, The Fiend Bray Wyatt defeats Braun Strowman to win his second ever Universal Championship, three-time champion now in the WWE overall. This match was a plunder match. It ended up with with Strowman using an X-Acto knife to cut the ring and expose the wood. Backfired on him. Bray hit a few Sister Abigails and retains the title that he probably never should have lost.
Braun Strowman just struggled greatly. I don't know.
Ever get the title again after this title run?
So it's funny you mentioned that. There's a clip that WWE tweeted out for their Chronicle, WWE Network. And in 2019, Vince told Braun he wasn't ready. And it was really hard on Braun. And for him to finally get this moment and not to have the crowd around and to get it in the way that he did, I don't know if we'll ever see him be a world champion. I think we probably will, but I don't know if he's ever going to get to a level of being... I think they missed the boat on when he could have been world champion. I really do.
Well, SmackDown, you look at what's coming up now. He goes to the back of the bus, right? The guy we're about to talk about, and with Big E and with AJ and potentially Bryan. I just kind of think he goes to the back of the bus now. I don't know where Strowman goes from here at all. Yeah. I have no idea where Strowman goes.
Getting the spear from Roman Reigns.
Who's back? There we go. The big dog is back.
Which is shocking, especially considering we're still very much in the middle of a pandemic, but obviously he feels comfortable enough to come to work. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because of where it is. I'm not entirely sure. I'm very interested to see if they address, if anything comes out for the thoughts on Roman coming back. But that spear on Strowman basically says, get out of here. You're not a part of this. Get lost. Yeah. And I think he's absolutely going to the back of the bus. And unfortunately, a guy who we thought could have won the Rumble and been a guy that could be one of your mainstays on SmackDown and Big E, I think he's unfortunately stuck in limbo now again, which is a shame.
Especially with Jeff winning the IC title, I thought the least the right call was, all respect to Jeff, great story there, right? But I thought the story was him beating AJ for the IC title.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought so too.
So maybe I'm assuming that it's going to be Jeff and AJ at Payback, and then AJ is going to win the title back, but that just seems counterproductive.
Yeah, it seems all over the place. It's just quickly on Big E, because we talked about his Talking Smack appearance with The Miz, and someone had sent out a tweet, and you sent it to me, basically describing this as obvious white privilege existed everywhere, especially in pro wrestling. In this video, you'll find the following invisible package of advantages: victim blaming, the I went through it too, just work hard arguments, and ignoring hurdles. And Daniel Bryan replies to this tweet saying, great post. So Daniel Bryan just kind of keeps coming through as being a swell guy, and it's good that stuff like this is getting pointed out. And I was on board with Big E being a world champion at some point in the next year, and I think he should be, but I feel like with Roman returning, it kind of pushes Big E into a limbo spot, and especially with where the IC title is right now, it's not really a good spot. I'm afraid that Kofi and Woods is going to be back and healthy, and it's just going to be status quo for them. And it's just going to be, how much longer does Big E have to wait, which sucks. And in a lot of ways, I had a lot of love for Roman. Potentially taking this away from Big E, not on purpose by any means, but kind of sours me a little on Roman. I don't know how I feel about Roman Reigns.
Well, Joel, what if the idea is you're going to have Roman win the title right away, and then Big E still wins, then it's Big E versus Roman?
I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that.
What if that's where we go?
My whole thing is, we said this for the WrestleMania that was at the PC, the goal was for Roman to win, and then for Roman to go on a lengthy title reign.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly are you getting the title on Roman?
I think he's winning at Payback.
Which
I don't think is right. I think this is always the problem with Bray having the title, right? I always feel bad for Bray because he's potentially going to be a transitional champion again.
It's Keith Lee. And it's...
Yeah, and that's the other program you have laid out, too. You set up a Keith Lee and Roman program last year at Survivor Series. Is that a direction you want to go as well?
Well, because you can't, because Keith Lee's debuting on Raw.
But I'm saying he could win the Rumble.
Yeah, that absolutely could be the way to go as well. And I have no qualms with that. I think Keith Lee's incredibly talented, and you got to cash in on Keith Lee now as opposed to later. It's really tricky because you got a lot of guys you need to make money off of. Just as a company standpoint, and a lot of guys that should be making money. So it's really tricky, and Roman kind of throws a wrench in it, because obviously the company is going to want to, and rightfully so, use Roman to make money.
I think the match for Payback is a three-way, and I think he pinched Roman.
Yeah, and then that sends the Fiend off in a whole storyline. And just kicks Braun Strowman even further down,
Which you don't really care about Strowman. He's a sacrificial lamb. You don't want the Fiend to lose, but you probably want to get the title onto Roman. And then you can do something with, I mean, no one's going to want to hear this, but it means he's probably going to be doing a little bit of a mini feud with Sheamus in between here at some point.
And we've never seen that before, have we?
No. I'm just looking at the heels on SmackDown.
Maybe this is why they took the title off.
Corbin. Yeah, like maybe him and AJ go again, Corbin, but it's a lot of stuff we've seen with Roman. But I think the ultimate goal is to get to him and Big E or him and Keith Lee for Mania. Yeah.
What was all this talk of Roman Reigns being a heel?
Yeah, that's a weird thing. People are like, oh, he's a heel. And for you and I, I was like, well, who's the babyface in this match?
Yeah, that was the other problem with this match. There's no clear-cut babyface. There's no clear-cut heel. You didn't pay anything off with Alexa Bliss. You didn't pay anything off with Retribution because we saw that they attacked them on SmackDown. Nothing happens there. You kind of shown the Money in the Bank briefcase. You did nothing there. So I feel this is a struggle now as a viewer because when you watch AEW, you do get payoff for stuff. When something gets shown, it eventually leads to something. And then you have to be reminded in WWE, it's the exact opposite. You can get shown. They can put Money in the Bank briefcase right in front of your face, and it won't mean anything for that episode because they got to shock and surprise you. All in all, I'm glad to see Roman back, but it definitely complicates the main event scene on SmackDown, and it creates for an interesting dynamic. You even looked at the video crowd, and the video crowd didn't look all that happy with Roman there, and you didn't
except for the guy with the Roman Empire shirt. He was happy.
Did you feel like they really let in any cheers for this match? Like, there was anything that made you kind of go, oh, yeah, no, Roman, really? Roman's over with all these.
It was a good attack. I liked the attack. I mean, it was exciting to see Roman. I did miss him as a star in the company. It felt like he, you know, there was that thing that Ryback's in this podcast I told you about of, oh, like they're done with marquee stars now the scene is gone. I'm like, no, Roman came back and he felt like a big star. Like, I don't know if you want to say marquee, like with the Hogan and the Rock and Cena type of level, but he definitely felt like a super duper big star.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a star. And it's going to be really interesting. I think the telltale sign is Friday. It's going to tell us how they're going to use him, what's his character going forward, what's his goals, what's his motivations, who's he working with. All those factors are going to go in, and like the shirt looked nice.
Mm-hmm.
Is Roman going strong silent type again, or is Roman going to show some personality? Where are you going with Roman? Because the last time you saw Roman, we were like, oh, okay, yeah. But the crowd was starting to kind of turn on Roman, and it was getting back to the level it used to before the leukemia returned. So it'll be interesting to see how Roman is, how people respond to Roman, what his storyline is. And as long as they tell a good story with Roman and there's a good thing going forward, then this is a very, 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 very good thing to get him back. But if WWE drops the ball, even slightly, because Roman is heavily scrutinized, even slightly dropping the ball could hamper what Roman could mean to your brand and your product overall.
This is why I just put the title on him right away. You end SummerSlam with him with the belt. You just go with it. You want to push this guy? Push it. Do this three-way. He beats Strowman. I don't know where you go with the Fiend, but he has the title, and then you just kind of go from there. But I get the title under Roman right now because Mania is going to be something of either Keith Lee or Big E, in my opinion. It's going to be one of those two that faces off against Roman. So get the title on there and go there now.
Or, you know, Goldberg has two matches a year for the next
two. So there's the Goldberg thing too. Yeah, there's Goldberg, there's Cena. There's many options for him to go with. But get the title on him now to make him an important champion by Mania.
Yeah. Don't delay it. Don't have him do the underdog. Just have him win.
No, just have him win. It sucks that the Fiend will be sacrificed within a week. There's damage that probably can be done there. But as we've seen with Bray, he can recover pretty good from that kind of stuff. I just get the title on him on Payback. People will be mad that it was a one-week title away from Bray, and why didn't we just keep the title on Strowman? I understand that all, but I would just put the title on Roman and just move forward.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably the right call.
Because he's going to beat the Fiend eventually, right? We know he's going to beat the Fiend eventually in the next 2 months. So just why delay it? Like you said, why do the underdog thing? Just get to it. Just do it.
Yeah. Just have it happen, and then we can just move forward.
Because you're going to be, you know, your ratings are such a big thing for you right now. The ratings really, really matter. And I'm interested to see what the rating is for SmackDown this week, just with the fact that, you know, Roman coming back, and how much does that mean to the rating?
Yeah, no, that's another, there's a lot of factors that go into this that is going to make this a really interesting time in WWE from just a viewer outside.
And like, if the rating pops, let's say they do a 3, which they haven't done this since like early this year, right, I believe, or did they even done a 3 this year?
I don't know if they've done a 3 this year.
But they've been pumping up. Like, I think the last 2 ratings have gone up. Like, 2 weeks ago went up, and I think Thunderdome gave them a little bit of boost. But if Roman brings them to a 3, then they're going to be like, well, okay, well, obviously Roman's a draw. Let's just get the title on him now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably where they're going to go.
I mean, there is the elephant in the room, though, with Otis. And that could be another scenario of you could just do the rematch of Bray and Strowman there, but you could have Roman challenge Otis for the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that could be the other factor, because Otis is DOA.
Yeah. So you have that. You haven't beat Otis. People aren't going to be thrilled about it, but whatever. Strowman and Bray have one more match to beat the shit out of each other. Roman cashes the Money in the Bank at the end of it.
Done and finished.
Yeah. But one way or another, by the end of Payback, I expect to see Roman Reigns holding that title up.
I think that's a very fair prediction.
Because you just kind of look like, we're not on the road to WrestleMania. We always kind of say that Survivor Series, right? But I think, you know, you start getting an idea of where WrestleMania is after SummerSlam, right? And you start thinking at least about Royal Rumble at this point a little bit, right? Like who are the favorites to win the Royal Rumble? And Big E's a consideration. Edge is a consideration. Keith Lee is a consideration for some people, depending what the booking is, right? But I'd say E and Edge are the 2 favorites right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then one of them is to potentially face Randy. If Randy ends up winning the title, which we think he's a contender for winning that title. And like I said, you know, you have feuds to go with Roman up until then. There's a lot of the unfortunate thing with the Roman thing and with the title is there's just feuds that he's already done. He's done King Corbin. He's done Sheamus. He's done AJ. Hey,
he is not feuded with King Corbin at all.
Are you sure about that?
I am positive. I blocked it from my memory.
So there is, I don't want to see any of those. I don't know, maybe he can face Matt Riddle, but I don't know how that does anything for Matt Riddle.
Dun-dun.
Well, even with the Fiend, like, okay, if let's just say Roman wasn't around for a second, or if they like do a side thing with Roman and they don't do the World Championship and they're doing something else with Roman, who is the Fiend feuding with? Now.
See, that's the other thing. You kind of booked yourself in a corner on SmackDown. Yeah,
because your baby faces are Jeff Hardy, which I guess that could be interesting for as far as cinematics go, right?
Yeah.
You have Jeff. You have Brian, which you've already done Brian. You have E. He's not there yet for that. We're not doing Big E yet.
No.
So I don't know who else we're not going with. Gulak, obviously, you're not going with any. I don't really know where you're going with. I think right now, like, Raw has a better. It almost would have made sense for Roman to go to Raw, to be honest, because there's some fresher faces there. He hasn't really done the KO thing, and maybe you move KO. Maybe you move Aleister Black. to get some of those fresh mashups, because he hasn't really fought KO in a major feud, really, right? He's had matches here and there with KO, but he hasn't had a major feud with Kevin Owens yet.
No, not yet.
Not getting really used. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go, but my best guess is that Roman has the title by the end. So really quickly before we go, just thinking about what we could see from Payback next week, we're going to have the women take titles. That's the only thing we know for sure. And I'm assuming we're going to have a rematch with Drew and Randy.
Yeah.
Fair assessment?
I think that's fair assessment.
I'm going to say triple threat for the Universal title. What do you think?
I think a triple threat's probably the right prediction. I think that's probably the best way to do this. And it's unfortunate for Braun, but I think that's the way they'll probably go.
I think Bayley and Naomi, or is that on SmackDown? And they just do the tag titles.
I think it'll just be on SmackDown.
I think we could see a tag match with Seth and Murphy against Dominic and Rey, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then AJ and Jeff, and then Bobby and Apollo.
Yeah, I think that's a decent card.
And then maybe whatever this KO and Aleister Black thing is.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where that goes.
Yeah, so not a bad card for Payback. So there we go. You know, all in all, a fun week in wrestling. TakeOver was fine. AEW was really good. And SummerSlam was a fun show at the end of the day. Yep. You know, the Retribution thing, definitely ball dropped. Money in the Bank, definitely ball dropped. But you did leave asking questions about where they're going with certain feuds and happy with certain matches. And that's all you can really ask for people. But right now, AEW is doing such a good job. But WWE, one of the bigger shows of the year. Dare I say this was maybe, to me at least, this is my favorite WWE pay-per-view so far I've seen this year.
I think this was one of their better shows that they've done. I think it's one of the better shows they've done in a while.
Yeah, I think the booking, it's something what Morton was talking about of AEW is at a standard right now. Japan's at a standard, right? NXT has dropped, and Raw and SmackDown have kind of just got to the standard that NXT was at.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree.
So that's just kind of where everything is. You're in an era right now with wrestling where everybody's so good, it's hard to almost have a bad show because there's so many talented people. Like, who's the worst wrestler on the show tonight? It's probably Strowman, who in any other era, like, he's much better than Kevin Nash in ring.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, the things that Strowman can do is better than a lot of any big guys could do, or even what Bray can do, right? Like, just the talent level. And I will praise WWE. These shows are nice and easy to digest and not super long. It doesn't feel like it didn't feel like it was dragging to the last match.
No, absolutely. I didn't feel winded.
No, I think they've done a good job with that. So, yeah, thanks, everyone, for any of the last news and notes that have happened before we get out of here, Joel.
No, nothing that I'm aware of.
It's always good news. So, yeah, next week we will be back Friday night potentially to talk to you about Dynamite, Raw, and SmackDown in the week and preview Payback. And then hopefully we will be back with a Payback after show. And then we get ready for All Out week after that. So happy to be back here one fall. Happy to have you all listen. And until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the day, people. Goodbye.
And good night, Ben!